A lot of poetry, and I think an awful lot of poetic expression, is really about the ephemeral nature of things. And as I get older, I really find that that's the old timers were really right in concentrating on that. Back in the days when I studied literature in the 1950s, dark ages, they used to hammer into our heads the idea of ubi sunt, you know, Latin. Where are they now? You know, all of these people that we knew, all of these things, they're all gone. Where do things go? Where do people disappear to? Where does the past disappear to? And I think that's as proper a subject for poetry as anything, because it is very odd. This moment that we call now has been preceded by billions and billions and billions of moments, each of which was once now. And these are, it's a very obvious kind of mystery, but we live in, as I said before, a very prosaic era, and people don't, you know, you don't have time to stop and think about stuff like that. Poets sometimes do. So I'm always chasing those ghosts. This is a poem about arriving in Lisbon in Portugal years ago when Salazar was still in power, and having taken a Portuguese freighter all the way there. And I wanted to write a poem about this for years, and it's really funny. You think that something happens to you, and you sit down in the heat of the moment, and you write it. Sometimes it works that way. You can write it in 5 minutes. Other times it takes years to figure out what went on. And this one took years. And finally, I wrote this. It'll be in tri-quarterly, just remember it, in this fall. So you can sit down and read it in slow motion. It's called Saudades, the Portuguese Blues. Perched at the railing of a Portuguese freighter, frightened inside, wavelengths from home and known to no one here except the not-so-secret police. I'm struck by how that brown-skinned girl in a moon-knit dress and Sunday pumps beams from the pier below. Already I know next to nothing about her, and soon I'll know even less. But nothing could have possibly prepared me for her long-distance smile that gently bridges the mileage anywhere. How can I not be gladdened by sharing the way she shines in the late Lisbon light, a quivering blue glow seeping into the deep and rolling sea? Just see how she sways and waves at the sight of her father, the seaman, the ship's wireless operator, positioned just now at my left, right beside me. He is back in contact with his proudest connection, this motherless angel he's been bragging about like a daddy all the way over from steamy Brooklyn to the shores of the Azores and on to the mainland and islands of me. Shaken to discover myself so removed from all the family I've ever known, I couldn't be happier than I am now, watching him hurry down the gangplank home. They charge into each other's arms, and then, peering up, squinting, shading his eyes, he signals me his last farewell. Ah, well, this is where I become a stranger again, an unraveled, woolly-minded, off-season traveler, all decked out with no place else to go and no one to answer at these ports of call. Soon we'll be free to be memories of each other, but for one skylit minute, radiant and radio clear, another part of my head snaps on. It begins to crackle with a pop song from long ago about kisses and fundamental things. And time and I go drifting by. We flow with the last of the cool, salty light out across the dark dock water that cradles this crusty old boat. In fact, as I shoulder my pack of belongings, a longing overcomes me, and for chorus after chorus I can still feel that flow, feel it pulling us apart, feel it nudging the swollen summer toward fall. Sighing, descending now, I can even feel how time will feel as it lightens my momentary burden of being all too young, all too wise, and all too deliriously alone. It takes a long time to see yourself like that.